The Swain Event Podcast is driven by Beatty Chevrolet. For your new and pre-owned vehicle shopping needs, visit BeattyChevrolet.com.
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
Deep down the middle, he's got his man, and he's gone. Jason Swain, touchdown.
It's time for the Swain Event with your host, Jason Swain.
My man.
Real sports talk for the real sports fan.
All you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him.
It's time for the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Get into his house and a Ric Flair.
SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. It is Tuesday, the best day of the week, April the 9th. 3 minutes past the top of the hour. Ben McKee, GoBalls 247. I'm Jason Swain, live from the Low T Center Studio. Ben McKee! What it do?
What it do? I'll tell you right now, mom's spaghetti is good. Mom's spaghetti for Eminem, it was good too. I mean, it's hard to mess up spaghetti, right?
I mean,
but it was really basic. It was good. I enjoyed it. And it was pretty cool vibe. I think anybody who appreciates Eminem's music or watched 8 Mile, the nostalgia of it was very cool. And for those who maybe just turned on and have no idea why I brought up Mom's Spaghetti, Swain played Lose Yourself by Eminem right before he started the show, which is one of the all-time great hype rap songs. I mean, it's an all-time great song. It was my walk-up song, my junior and senior year of high school. That's how great it is.
No, it really is. Spaghetti's one of those meals where, like, and you'll probably understand this more once your kids are older and you're ripping and you're running and you gotta provide dinner. Or maybe you experienced this as a kid yourself with your parents, but it's one of those easy meals where, like, you don't really have to put a lot of effort into it. Now, I know for all my Italians out there, I know you make your sauce from scratch. I get it. I understand, and it's a lot more work that goes into it. I respect it. I've made it from scratch several times. I understand. But, like, if I was with you, Ben, we wouldn't be going to Mom's Spaghetti. We would be going somewhere else. If I had to say,
I it was more the nostalgia of it, and Wes and I went Saturday before the Tennessee Purdue media availability, and this was the day after Tennessee Creighton started at 10:30. At night.
Yeah.
And so it was a late night and slept till about 11:30. And so got up and kind of was trying to get something quick, and it was right next to the arena and popped in. And I, aside from that though, like I did want to go by and see it. I'm a big Eminem fan and love the movie 8 Mile. So the nostalgia of it was more of why I stopped by than anything else.
Gotcha. Yeah, we'll market to all the people who like Eminem and like the movie. Who cares if they like spaghetti or not? Got him. Nah, I'm just kidding. 865-255-03. Orange or white scrimmage / game this weekend. You have a hire maid. Huh?
Slash practice.
Yeah. Practice. You have a hire maid, the Lady Vols. A surprising but not surprising hire. A hire that has a lot of upside to it. A hire that it's gonna take some winning. It's gonna take some winning to really buy in to the hire. Cause it's just not a lot of information out there, not a lot of experience out there for Kim Caldwell. Her system, her style of play is very attractive coming over from Marshall and 1 year at Marshall. She won a national championship at Glenville State. Other than that, man, just not a lot. They're gonna shoot threes. That's what she does. Third in the country last year at Marshall. Only team that was better was Montana and Iowa that made 11 threes per game. Marshall made 10.6 threes per game. Marshall was fourth in the country in scoring. The only three teams that were higher than Marshall in scoring was LSU coming off a national championship, South Carolina, who won a championship, and Iowa, who played in the national championship. So you're going to get points, you're going to get threes, you're going to get pressing, AAU style, full court. It is going to be a much more fun product for sure. It looks like Dane White went to the Josh Heupel move here, and this reminds me a lot of a Nate Oates type of hire too, someone that the style of play, you saw that he can be very, very successful with the right program and the right support, and we see what Nate Oates is doing in Alabama. So looks like Kim Caldwell will have the opportunity to do it here, Ben.
It's certainly a risky hire. I think that's what you were alluding to. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there's risk involved. There's no doubt about that. Sure. I think we all, at least initially, and maybe we were incorrect in our thinking, and maybe we should not have been narrow-minded in this sense, but we all thought that Tennessee and Danny White was going to swing big. And this may prove to be a big hire, but in terms of on the surface, when she arrives, Kim Caldwell arrives, it's not a big hire in terms of being a big name. And again, not that it has to be a big name in order to be successful, but I think a lot of Lady Vol fans, Tennessee fans, and observers of the program expected, thought, wanted Danny White to go do what LSU did with Kim Mulkey. Not literally hire that specific person, but LSU wanted to go out and like make a splash in women's basketball. They wanted to go out and reset their women's basketball program and quickly get it back to the top and establish themselves as one of the best in the country. And I am not the biggest Kim Mulkey fan personally, but there is no debating her success as a basketball coach. And I think a lot of people wanted Tennessee to bring in somebody with the same sort of basketball resume that Kim Mulkey has. And that just did not happen. Again, not saying that because it didn't happen that Kim Caldwell won't be successful. There is a lot to like there, but it is also risky just because of the lack of experience at this level. You just don't quite know for sure what you're going to get. Whereas if you did bring in a big name, a proven winner, for the most part, you know what you're going to get. But that's not how it played out. And I do think that in terms of being innovative and trying to be proactive, like I think this is a really nice hire, at least in terms of kind of the boxes you check off in terms of offense, defense. She has won at every single level that she's been at. But there is risk involved because there's just a different type of pressure, Swain. I'm stating the obvious here, but when you're rolling in the Pratt Pavilion every day and you pass by Pat Summitt's statue, who is the face of women's basketball all time and has done as much for women's sports as anybody ever, Like, you're passing her statue every day. You see the banners hanging inside of Thompson Bowling Arena at Food City Center. And you don't even need to see Pat Summitt or the banners to understand the Lady Vols basketball program and what comes with it. There's a different level of pressure coaching here that you just do not feel when you're coaching at a D2 school, a D3 school, a Marshall. So I'm very curious to see how Kim Caldwell adapts to this level, how she is able to recruit at this level. Quite frankly, it's up to Danny White to turn over every stone throughout the hiring process to make sure that he is comfortable with bringing her in from a leadership standpoint and a recruiting standpoint, because she does not have the prior experience of coaching at this level. It's up to Danny White and his staff to kind of check those boxes throughout the hiring process, and hopefully they did that. So it is risky in that sense, but it's hard not to like the resume. I mean, you talked about it, and it's more than just the shooting threes. And I know you mentioned the full court press and kind of AAU style of play, but I mean, it's turnovers forced per game. They were second in the country last year, forcing 24 a game at Marshall, 13 steals a game, which was third in the country. And then I think the stat that I liked the most was the turnover margin. They were 7.94 plus 7.94 in turnover margin, which was third in the country as well. So they're playing a new era style of basketball offensively with the threes, as you mentioned, Swain. But then they're getting it done on the defensive end by forcing turnovers. And they're taking care of the basketball as well to produce a great turnover margin, which has been something that has plagued the Lady Vols really since Pat Summitt left, is not being able to take care of the basketball on their own. And they rebound too. Offensively, their offensive rebounds per game, they're 16.4 per game. That was fifth in the country. So like every box that you want to check off from a basketball team in terms of fundamentals and new style of play in today's era of college basketball, she checks off all those boxes. So she may not have been a name that many people heard of prior to. She may lack the experience at this level, but her resume, it sure is impressive in terms of her team's style of play, and she is a flat-out winner everywhere she has been.
If she's given the necessary support to go out and get players from the transfer portal and do what you have to do to recruit ballers today, then she'll be successful. I think the price that it takes for you to go out and recruit high-level basketball players is going up because of the popularity of the game has gone up. And so there has to be a commitment from the top that if we're not expecting numbers to be the same as football players' numbers, but you got to be willing to play, because other programs around the country, they're paying for top-quality talent out of high school. Not just in the transfer portal, not just bringing your players back, but high school players, they're willing to up the NIL to get those players. And so if you're not willing to provide that type of support to Kim Caldwell, she's not going to be successful. Okay, how great her system is. She needs players to compete against LSU and South Carolina. Think about LSU and Kim Mulkey. LSU was fortunate and lucky that you had a coach that was from Louisiana, that played at La Tech during time when La Tech was a powerhouse, won at Baylor, but home is home. Louisiana is home. Tennessee doesn't have that type of person out there unless you're talking about Wes Moore. But Wes Moore is 66 years old. You won't say Kara Lawson. You can say that. But Kara Lawson hasn't won a championship, hasn't won at a high, high level. And we understand kind of the backstory with Kara Lawson in Tennessee. So Tennessee didn't really have that type of hire out there. Or candidate. I think Tennessee did go talk to some more experienced coaches. And I won't say they got publicly told no, but I don't think Kim Caldwell was the only person they talked to gauge interest. 865-255-03 is our telephone number. Tennessee football cranking up this week for a spring finale with the orange and white game. Men's basketball, putting a bow on that. Glad that UConn was able to get the dub. And boy, Did they? Another double-digit dominating win by UConn. Back-to-back for the first time since the Florida Gators. Very, very impressive. I didn't get a chance to watch the finish the entire game, like the last 5 minutes. Anything. But I fell asleep. But Zach Edey, man, y'all gotta give Zach Edey his props. Yeah, he big, and yeah, it's annoying the way he's officiated. But the best team in the country, the most dominant team in the country, had no answer for him. Just like no one has had an answer for him, including Tennessee. No one has had an answer for him all year long and for 2 years. So give him his props. I thought he said something really stupid leading up to the championship game where he said that they were the underdogs and they had nothing to lose. That's like the dumbest thing ever to say. You have something to lose. It's called the game. The game is what you have to lose, and you lost.
A national championship.
Yeah, like, we have nothing to lose. You're not a 16 seed. You're not a Cinderella. You're a number one seed. You do have something to lose. It's the game. So I thought that was really silly and really dumb, but you got to tip your cap to Zach Edey and where he's come from. He was just some tall, uncoordinated player that none of the top programs wanted. And he used his motivation, 2-time player of the year, led his team to a national championship game. You got to give him his props. All right, Ben, let's do this. Let's take a quick timeout, and then let's get back on the other side. Let's get to the text box. Because they always got to show love to the Beatty Chevrolet text box. Always got to do that now. See what's going on. See what's cracking with the good people. You got baseball that, oh my goodness, handled business down in Auburn. We know Auburn's not a juggernaut, not one of the best teams in SEC, but still. Just Cal Stark going crazy. Offense going crazy. It is officially baseball time in Tennessee, man. Now it's baseball time in Tennessee. Big series this weekend versus LSU. LSU not even ranked in the top 25. Don't care. It's time for payback. I guess that's the way we look at it. 865-255-03. Ben McKee, GoVols 247. I'm Jason Swain. Stay with us. Be right back.
You're listening to The Swain Event.
You don't say.
Fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Yeah!
Fellas, there's a lot of people talking about testosterone, but do your homework and go to a provider that you can trust. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels checked. At Low T Center, they make it quick and easy. You walk in, take a simple blood test, and you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. If you've been feeling tired, grumpy, have noticed weight gain, loss of muscle mass, you may have low T levels. Go to lowtcenter.com to book your appointment online. That's lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare. When you are craving some quality barbecue, there's only one place to go, Dead End Barbecue. Dead End Barbecue has been featured on ESPN's Taste of the Town, the first barbecue restaurant on the SEC Network, CBS Sports, Headline News Tailgate Show, Amazon Prime's The Restaurant Comeback, Food Paradise, and named one of the top 100 barbecue restaurants in America. The search is over. Dead End Barbecue is located on 3621 Sutherland Avenue right here in Knoxville. You can even have it delivered right to your door through Chow Now. Visit their website at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue. The search is over.
Hey, Vol Nation. This is Charlie Pratt, financial representative with Modern Woodmen and MWA Financial Services. Modern Woodmen has been touching lives and securing futures for 140 years. Being born and raised here in East Tennessee, I'm honored to help East Tennesseans in all phases of life with retirement planning, investments, and life insurance. A big win on Saturday starts with preparation early in the week. A secure financial future starts with planning today. Contact my office today at 865-919-6468 to review your financial plan and make sure you are on track for success. As always, go Vols.
Registered representative and investment advisor, representative offering securities and advisory services through NWA Financial Services, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of Modern Woodmen of America, member of FINRA, SIPC.
Good morning, Swain Event fam. America's College Sports Town has everything you could want in a lifestyle. You want a cottage home in town or a downtown condo? Or maybe you're looking for a home with a pool or a lake property. Well, whatever you want, the Knoxville area has it. And I'm ready to assist when it's time to find what you're looking for. So give me a call. Jennifer Morris, 865-694-5904. Or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com. And check out my website at nextmovesmokymountains.com. Go Vols!
Baby Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Baby Chevrolet.
Just because you can't call in doesn't mean that you have to sit on the sideline. Impact the show with a text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
Mention Steelers because Ben representing his Steelers gear today. I'm a Mike Tomlin fan, so I ain't got any hate. I don't have any shade. I like what the Steelers got going on right now. Bo has heard a lot of chatter regarding Boo Carter this spring. Can you guys confirm that he is that dude in the defensive backfield? I can confirm that he's really good. And has a high ceiling and is doing a lot of things right now to show that he can play at this level really early. D from 423 says there's a certain running back that entered the portal from Ohio State yesterday. Any friction there for us? It doesn't seem like it right now. You're talking about Dallin Hayden. Benjamin Thomas McKee. Dallin Hayden. Here we go. You have a running back that 200+ pounds. Obviously can play at a high level. Decided coming out of high school, did not want to go to Tennessee. And if you understand how everything went down with Tennessee, you really can't blame anybody for not wanting to come to Tennessee at the time that he decided to go to Ohio State. We've seen other players from Tennessee that said, you know what? Not a lot of stability in Tennessee. We'll go somewhere else. But we've seen that improve over the last couple of years. And so Tennessee has been able to get the George McIntyres and get some of those players now because the program is in a better place. Tennessee needs a running back. Let's not get it twisted here. Tennessee has a running back that, in Cam Seldon, was supposed to be your strong number two. Be that Jabari Small type that can be number one if he needs to, or be number two, whatever. Like, be in that rotation, one or two. But he has a shoulder injury that is going to take a long time. And even when he gets back, it's going to be right up to the season. How good do you feel putting him out there then? Will it be ready? One hit on that shoulder changes everything. So he has to be really, really careful. And then you have DeShawn Bishop. And then you have Khalif Akeem. And then you have freshman running backs coming in, young backs, inexperienced. The only guy that's experienced is Dylan Sampson, who's never been a number one. So his workload is going to be different. Maybe even more. It'll be a workload he's never had before. Tennessee needs a back. Here's one that's available. Now, if you have somebody that you can get that's better, okay, cool. But if you don't, what are we waiting on? We upset because he said no to Tennessee before? I hope that's not the case. Because a lot of people said no to Tennessee before. You can't blame anybody for saying no to Tennessee 3 years ago.
No, but I do think that there's some pride that needs to be set aside on both sides. If there's going to be a marriage, both parties involved, I get the sense need to set some pride aside. At least that is what I've picked up on in the past.
I understand that.
Is that both sides need to maybe, if they were going to get married, they need to set some pride aside. And just based off of that, I would be, I mean, the marriage seems perfect for one another, but based off of how things have gone down in the past, I would be surprised if it happens.
And I do understand that. I think things in the past could have been handled better or differently. I get that. But do you need a running back or do you don't? You need a running back.
Well, the running back has to want to come to Tennessee as well, is my point.
I'll repeat what I just said. I know what you just said. You need a running back. So
I agree. It seems like the perfect marriage.
You have a player in the transfer portal who you can contact. Contact him. I mean, that's... And then if he says no, then oh well. Like, I'm going to break some news to you, Ben. In recruiting, you get told on a year-in-year-out basis, you get told three times more than you are told yes every single year. You're told no all the time. The best salesman in the company is told more than yes. He just gets more no's than everybody else. You're going to get no's. Cool. But you need a running back. You need one with experience. And you need one that's a different body type than Dylan Sampson. And here he is. So, man, pride has killed a lot of men in the history of our world. Stubbornness has killed a lot of men and women in the history of our world. He's what you need. Figure it out. I just think it's that simple. Maybe it's not. I think it's that simple.
It can be that simple if both sides view it that way.
I think it's pretty simple. But that's just me. But Tennessee definitely needs some assistance at running back. I cannot hide my raised eyebrows at the running back position. It's not like other positions. It's not like the defensive line. It's not like the linebackers. It's not like the secondary. It's not like the offensive line. It's not like the receivers. It's different than the rest of the groups on this team, Ben. Now, we can sit here and ignore it if you want to, but it's different.
I'm the one who said last week that Tennessee should go out and get a running back. I The running back, I love Dylan Sampson. I think Dylan Sampson is a future NFL running back. I do not like the depth behind him, particularly with Cam Seldon and Peyton Lewis sidelined for the spring and Cam Seldon's injury carrying over into the fall to a certain extent. We'll see when he's able to get back during fall practice. I was okay with the depth prior to Peyton Lewis and Cam Seldon getting banged up, but knowing that, and it's not just Cam Seldon being banged up. I mean, his is a true injury that is going to take months to come back from. So it's not like Cooper Mays where maybe tweaks an ankle and you shut him down for the rest of spring just to be on the cautious side. No, it's a legitimate, serious injury that needed to be fixed. And, I mean, you'll be lucky if he's even available to start the year. And even if he is available to start the season, what does he look like after dealing with an injury all summer long and rehabbing from an injury all season long? So I was okay with the depth before the injuries. Now I absolutely think that Tennessee should go out and try to add a 1B to Dylan Sampson.
Anil Mafia says Dallin signed with OU or OSU in December of 21. Things at Tennessee were good by then. I have no idea what the mess you're talking about is. Well, I will say this. Dallin committed June of 2021 and was part of the 22 class. But let's understand something here. Dallin's dad played in Tennessee. Dallin's dad, Aaron Hayden, wasn't totally disconnected from Tennessee. Pay attention to Tennessee. When you are a kid of a legend like Aaron Hayden, no different than Todd Kelly Jr., you grew up watching Tennessee football. You grew up paying attention to Tennessee football. If you're in the state, you have friends that have been recruited by Tennessee, that have an opinion about Tennessee. So Josh Heupel gets here, and in the first year, it's better than expected. And then the second year, we understand what happened, how special that was. But Dallin Hayden had this opinion of Tennessee, and it wasn't a lot of time for him. Maybe he didn't give Tennessee the opportunity, a fair opportunity, in Tennessee's point of view, to see that things were different than it was previously. So I understand Tennessee's side of it, if they feel that way. But I also understand and respect Dallin for saying, nah, man, it ain't right. Because it wasn't right for me when I left the state of Alabama. It wasn't right. So I understand both sides of it. This is why if you are an administration, it's probably best not to have turnover with your head coach. This is why you want to avoid it. This is why Kay May said no to Tennessee and then decided to come back to Tennessee because things were better. Well, things are better right now at Tennessee. And if Tennessee can go out there and find a better back that's available to Dallin Hayden and you're able to get him, go ahead. But if you can't, if you cannot get a better back than Dallin Hayden and you do not have a running back group that is capable of winning games this year with Nico taking over, with the offensive line that you paid a lot of money to keep together, with the defensive line you did the same thing with, and if running back is a problem this year and you refuse to go out and get Dallin Hayden or any other running back, you deserve every criticism that you're going to get, every piece of it. You deserve it.
What level of back at minimum do you think that Tennessee should bring in? We're both on the same page of Tennessee needing to bring a back in. But as you mentioned last week, we don't need to bring in a body just to bring in a body, right?
No Mondre Londons. No offense, Mondre London.
I was going to let you say his name, not me.
I'm just saying.
So in turn, we'll list it off, or we'll describe it based off of depth chart rankings. Like, do you think at minimum Tennessee should bring in a 1B to Dylan Sampson? Do you think at minimum, I think there's only two options in terms of bringing in a quality of back. To me, it's got to be somebody that can be 1A, 1B with Dylan Sampson, or at minimum be a number two to Dylan Sampson. I think that would be okay if you brought in a clear number two to Dylan Sampson. What is your thought process on the minimum quality of back that Tennessee needs to bring in? And the reason I ask that is because of today's day and age of college football. I mean, Dylan Sampson was one of the guys that we talked about right after the bowl game in terms of NIL and retaining him and some of his social media posts. And I'm not at all saying that I think that Dylan Sampson would leave if you brought in somebody, but it is a delicate line that you have to walk nowadays to not disrupt what you already have in your room. So that is why I am asking the question of what level of quality player should Tennessee bring in at minimum at running back?
Good question. First, your goal is to win football games. Put your team in the best position to win football games. Period, point blank. This ain't youth league sports, number one. Number two, what did we just witness with Jalen Wright? There was times during the season we were like, dang, Jalen Wright only got the ball 8 times. Oh, he only got the ball 10 times. Oh, man, he's an NFL back. Why is he only touching the ball 10 times? That stinks. Not for Jalen Wright, don't. Because Jalen Wright saved himself from a beating. Because running backs have a short shelf life. The one thing that was great about Auburn in 2004 is they had three backs. They had Ronnie Brown, Brandon Jacobs, and Cadillac Williams. And it helped those players from being Saquon Barkley with the Giants. This one dude, offensive line is not as great, and he's getting beat down play after play after play. Oh, you want to be that bell cow? Oh, yeah, you get 30 carries. Why? That's stupid. You're shortening your career. So if you're Dylan Sampson, you shouldn't have a problem with somebody coming in. I know you played 2 years and you wanted to play more. You wanted more reps. But Alvin Kamara is his idol. That's it. That's who he looks up to. You don't think Alvin Kamara said to himself, I said his name twice, differently both times. But you don't think that Alvin Kamara, while he was here at Tennessee, was pissed that he wasn't getting reps like he thought he should because Jalen Hurd was getting him. And then when he got to the league, he was like, phew, man, that was a blessing in disguise. That was a blessing in disguise because I don't have all those miles on me, and I'm out here breaking records, going to the Pro Bowl every year. I'm fresh. I'm not hurt. In the moment, you want to play more as a running back. But the best scenario for Dylan Sampson is to get someone in here that you can share reps with. Because look at Jalen Wright. He's going into the league fresh. Dylan Sampson is not as big and strong as Jalen Wright. I don't want Dylan Sampson with 25, 30 carries a game. And at this rate, with what's behind Dylan Sampson, it's looking like that today. Today it's looking like that.
If Tennessee was playing in Norman against Oklahoma this coming Saturday instead of a spring game, Dylan Sampson would need the football in his hands 25 to 30 times. So I completely agree with what you were saying. That was going to be my answer to my own question was, does Dylan Sampson see what the NFL is saying about Jalen Wright right now during the draft process? And that's how fresh he is because of the workload that he did not have at Tennessee. Not that Tennessee misused him like Butch Jones misused Alvin Kamara when AK was in Knoxville. What's that?
I said, Butch Jones, who? Butch Jones, who?
Oh, there were some great – there were so many great just lines and things that happened under Butch that at the time were just infuriating. And now you can look back and somewhat laugh through the pain about them when you recall them in your mind. But right now, I think, I mean, I hear a lot of people talking about draft people talking about how Jalen Wright's going to be super fresh going into the league.
Yep.
Because he didn't carry a large workload in college. And that would be what I would hope that Dylan Sampson recognizes, is that he can still be Tennessee's face of the running back room while also preserving his body and it helping him for the next level. And I think that Dylan Sampson, because Dylan, the social media stuff after the season, that was all just a show. That wasn't representative of who Dylan Sampson is, the person. That was him being a smart businessman, is what that was. That was not him being a diva. I have interacted with Dylan Sampson personally, both off the record and on the record through media availabilities. Swain has worked with Dylan Sampson as well, been around Dylan Sampson. He is as good of a young man as you will come across in college athletics, not just on Tennessee's football team. He is everything that you want in a student athlete, in my opinion, in terms of somebody that you want inside of your building. So I think that Dylan Sampson would recognize the benefits of bringing in a second back to help carry the load, because that's all it would be. Is it would be beneficial for everybody. It would be beneficial for Tennessee to help you try and win football games. And it would be beneficial to Dylan Sampson because it would limit his workload. And also, while you're limiting your workload, that lessens the chance of you suffering a serious injury. And then all of a sudden, your draft hopes aren't as hopeful as they once were. So I think that Dylan Sampson would see it through that lens. But I agree with everything that you said. That was my answer to my own question, is that does Dylan Sampson see what people are saying about Jalen Wright and how Jalen Wright didn't carry the ball a billion times in college?
Yeah, that's the best. That's how I look at it. All right, let's get to the phones. 865-255-03. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Turkey Man?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Well, good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. You know, our running back, as we've seen in the bowl game, how they look without the ball in their hands is probably as much important as what you do with the ball in your hand, because we've seen our quarterback get sacked, and a lot of times it looked like the running back was confused on maybe picking up a block or you know, kipping the guy that's doing the blitz and maybe holding him up a little different. It appeared to me that a lot led to the sacks we got because of that. I think it's important that we get someone in to help, but also not just somebody can carry the ball, maybe catch the ball some, but it's important to pick up those what they do without the ball. And I was wondering, if somebody within the ranks that maybe doesn't fall into maybe a linebacker this year because of depth or defensive back, but played the position of running back, that might be able to come over and help fill that void, and maybe pick up blocking some and helping that, because our running back is very important. Probably is more important than anything, because we looked at it as a passing team, but the running is what sets that up. And you got to have pass protection. I want to see your take on that. I want to see your look at that, because just getting a good running back is one thing, but getting someone that can play without the ball in their hands is probably as important as anything.
Yep,
I'll get out, guys. I'll get out.
All right, Terry, man, thank you. Yeah, I mean, you need somebody that can block without the in pass pro is what Turkey Man is saying. And Dylan Sampson improved in that in his last couple of years here. Jabari Small was really good at that. Jalen Wright was really good at that. And Like, how confident are you that you're going to have that same level of trust in your running backs 1, 2, and 3, whoever goes out there and play? So, listen, man, me and Ben can get into it. We can have a disagreement. But if Ben, I need a ride somewhere, and Ben's the only person that's going to be a ride, I'm sorry, I'm not walking. I'm going to ask Ben. I'm going to suck up my pride. Go, hey, Ben, hey, man, I'm sorry for what happened, brother. I need a ride. I'm sucking my pride up. I just am. And Tennessee can't afford to not have a better scenario with your 3-deep and running back. And like, if you are running back on this team and you hearing me say this, and you're hearing people have a concern about running backs, you supposed to be offended. You're supposed to be. Cool. You're supposed to be offended. Wait. They doubt me. I can do it. Yeah, you're supposed to feel that way. And guess what? We're supposed to feel how we feel. And we ain't wrong. Any concern about the depth of running back is not wrong right now. It's not wrong. Don't let anybody tell you it's wrong. That you go, man, Jalen Wright, Jabari Small's gone. Dylan Sampson's number one. Peyton Lewis is banged up right now. Seldon is out.
You're down to Khalifa Keith and Deshaun Bishop's.
Yeah.
And like, Deshaun Bishop, he was really impressive in the fall for a true freshman running back in fall practice last year. That is, before he suffered an ankle injury that caused him to miss pretty much the entire season of practice. And Bishop has had a nice spring as well. Swain, you've heard the same things, I'm sure. Deshaun Bishop, what I'm getting to is that Deshaun Bishop committed to you as a walk-on after decommitting from Coastal Carolina. Now, I think he is better than that label, but that is still a fact of him being like, that is your number two or number three back, along with Khalifa Keith, who was an under-recruited bowling ball type running back out of the state of Alabama. I mean, those are your two backups right now. That is not a situation that the University of Tennessee should be in, quite frankly, regardless of how. And I think, again, Keith and Bishop have had nice springs. I think that they have a chance to be really quality running backs, but they're wet behind the ears, and those should not be running back two and running back three in Tennessee's running back room. Like, Swain, how many times have you brought me back to reality of what Tennessee's running back room used to be and how much depth there used to be in Tennessee's running back room? We are far from that in terms of what Tennessee has at the moment. Maybe part of that is the transfer portal era and guys not sitting and waiting anymore like they used to. But there is, I mean, the running back position is a huge concern, yeah. I think.
Yeah, yeah. 44 Vol says, good morning, gentlemen. Any chance whatsoever we could land Hayden out of the transfer portal? 44 Vol must be tuning in. That's been the conversation for the last 15, 20 minutes. And, you know, obviously both sides felt a certain type of way, which is why Hayden did not come the first time out of high school when he was part of the 2022 class, committed to Ohio State, June 2021. I know Josh Heupel really was trying his hardest to make a first impression on Dallin Hayden, and quite frankly, just wasn't given an opportunity. And I understand how frustrating that can be, but I do understand Hayden's side of it too. No, I already built a relationship with somebody else. I'm not going to waste your time. I'm not going to waste mine. Like, when Alabama brought in their new coach, Mike Shula, after stuff happened with Mike Price, after Franchon left, I didn't give Shula the time of day. And he probably felt
rude.
Okay, yeah. It's more rude for me to waste your time and make it seem like I'm interested when you could be going out recruiting somebody else, spending your time talking to somebody else. Like, I saw Rodney Garner a couple weeks ago, and we was joking about how I didn't go to Georgia, and he was recruiting me. I was like, Coach, I promise you I was going to come on a visit. I came on a visit. And I wasn't going to lead you on. I think as a coach, you should appreciate that more than being let on only to not take your school serious. When NIL first popped off and Tennessee was for some reason out there known as the bank because you heard reports of Nico's deal, you had players that was like, yo, yeah, Tennessee my top five. And Tennessee didn't even want that kid. But that kid, for some reason, thought that Tennessee was just going back up the Brinks truck, just passing out free money. No, it ain't like that. Now, speaking of money, Von Birmingham says 100,000 washes away bad blood every day of the week. Well, money does change things, but there has to be mutual interest. I don't know if Tennessee is interested in Dallin Hayden. If you're Dallin Hayden, I don't know why you would not be interested in Tennessee. Tennessee is a place where you could be RB1, RB2. Like, you can be that. You can be that. So
you're going to have competition at running back no matter what big school you look at. If you don't want any competition at running back, you're going to have to go down a level. So if he wants to stay at an Ohio State level school, then he's going to have to deal with somebody like Dylan Sampson anywhere he turns. And I know I've seen some Ole Miss buzz as well, because obviously Lane Kiffin loves the transfer portal, and Lane's doing a good job down there at Ole Miss accumulating talent, and Oxford not too far down the road from the Memphis area, which is where the Haydens live. So that is you can see that being a landing spot. There, I'm not familiar with Ole Miss's running back room. I guarantee you they have somebody like Dylan Sampson in the running back room with the way that Lane Kiffin has been accumulating talent. So there's going to be competition at Ole Miss, at Tennessee, at Ohio State, these top 15 to 20 teams currently in the country, if he is wanting to stay at that type of level of school.
Hey, it's not always about the storybook ending for me. I'm the same person who will tell you I don't really want all the in-state players. I'm sorry. I know everyone's like, keep them in state. Keep all the good players in state. No. Well, what if there's better players outside the state?
What if the in-state class isn't that good this year?
Yeah, I don't really want all the in-state players. I just want the really good ones.
Like the current 2025 class, in-state class, this year's class with George McIntyre and Ethan Utley and others, like this year's class, Tennessee really, really likes, which is why you're seeing them go hard after several guys throughout the state. Last year's class, they got a couple, but the in-state class – last year, I don't believe Tennessee was very high on from top to bottom, which is why you didn't really see them go after as many as they have in the past or as many as they are this year. It's very circumstantial. It's going to change year to year in terms of the in-state crop. Some year Tennessee's going to sign upwards of double-digit players from the state of Tennessee. Some years they may sign three or four. It's going to depend on a yearly basis.
Yeah. Like, it's hilarious because you hear people, like, talking down both sides of their neck. They're like, I want good players. I want to be in the top five recruiting. I want to be in team recruiting. We need good players to win. But I also want three-star players from Tennessee that I don't want them to leave the state. It's like, man, which one do you want? You want players that played at Tennessee or played inside the state of Tennessee that Florida doesn't want, Georgia doesn't want, Alabama doesn't want, LSU doesn't want? That's what you want? You want that player just because he's from Tennessee? Which one do you want? You want to win or not? So give me the good out-state players. Give me the best in-state players. I want the best in-state players. I don't want just good in-state players. I want the best in-state players that can play anywhere in the country. Give me those. Give me the T.
Carters.
Give me the T. Higgins. Give me the K. Mays. Give me them dudes. Don't give me some dudes that he's picking between Tennessee and Colorado State. No, thank you. Of all, hope everything is good with your daughter. LC Vall, Ben, is there any hope left that these freshman pitchers can be a help down the stretch here? We're talking Tennessee baseball. Nelson, maybe you need to go get a coffee break or something. But speak to us, Ben McKee, about the freshman pitchers. We need some pitching help that this team's going to make run.
I think there's certainly hope. Whether or not it happens is a different question. There is certainly hope because the three freshmen I assume that you are talking about, Derek Schaefer, Matthew Dallas, Dylan Loy, they are all very talented and have a lot of potential, especially Schaefer and Dallas. They have stuff that is going to get them drafted one day, whereas Loy, I feel, is more of a Camden Sewell or Redmond Walsh, just a terrific pitcher who is more of a college pitcher. Not saying that Dylan Loy won't be drafted at some point, but Schaefer and Dallas have stuff that almost got them drafted out of high school. So there's certainly hope there just because of their potential, and Tennessee needs them to be a factor by the time the postseason rolls around to give Frank Anderson and Tony Vitello more options on the mound. But they do seem far off at the moment from reaching that point. Command has been a big issue for both of those two the last several weeks. It's understandable with Dallas. I mean, he pitched 7 months or missed 7 months while dealing with a shoulder injury, and they had to kind of rework his throwing motion to avoid further pain in that shoulder that was being caused. So I think he's trying to knock off the rust, and Schaefer's just trying to adjust to college baseball. So they both have the chance to do so, and Tennessee needs them to do so, but it does feel unlikely at the moment.
This weekend, it's a big one. It's another SEC matchup. Ben McKee doesn't have to travel across the country. Proud of me. Traveling all across the country. Something definitely.
You're listening to the Swain Event.
And you know this, man.
Here in Knoxville, we love it when a squirrel's in the checkerboards. But when there's a squirrel in our attic, that's offsides. When that happens, call Alpha Wildlife. They're Knoxville's veteran-owned and operated wildlife removal company. When unwanted critters put their feet up on your coffee table, call 865-224-6555. Let the Tennessee fans at Alpha Wildlife evict those unwanted tenants and set your home up with a winning defense to keep that wildlife where it belongs. That's Alpha Wildlife at 865-224-6555. They have locations in Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, and in parts of South Carolina. Check them out online at alphawildlife.com.
Fellas, there's a lot of people talking about testosterone, but do your homework and go to a provider that you can trust. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels checked. At Low T Center, they make it quick and easy. You walk in, take a simple blood test, and you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. If you've been feeling tired, grumpy, have noticed weight gain, loss of muscle mass, you may have low T levels. Go to lowtcenter.com to book your appointment online. That's lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
What's up, Swain Event crew? Always happy to be with my friends in the morning. So, everybody has a next chapter in life, right? And sometimes that includes a move. Your next page may have a growing family, or maybe an empty nest, or possibly a move back home. When the time comes, I'll be here to help. Just give me a call. Jennifer Morris, Keller Williams Realty, 865-694-5904. And check out my website, nextmovesmokymountains.com. As always, go Vols!
Looking for a different way to enjoy the show?
Yes!
Then check out Swain Event TV on YouTube.
Swain Event, SwainEvent.com. Fuel by Dead End Barbecue. Top barbecue. 03 is our telephone number. Ben McKee, Go Balls 247. Oh, boy. Travel all this year, Ben, covering Tennessee basketball. Can you just put like a little bow on it, man? Can you describe what it was like covering the team?
Well, it was a lot of fun. First and foremost, you develop relationships with everybody on the team. Quite frankly, not that you become best friends or anything, but there's inside jokes that are formed, and you always look forward to seeing the support staff and the assistant coaches and Rick himself and the players. And obviously everybody knows that the players on Tennessee's basketball team are great young men, and they're fun to be around. So it's cool to develop a form of a relationship with those guys, and that's before you even get to what they're able to do on the court. So it's a lot of fun. It's a huge blessing to be able to travel around the SEC and see so many great universities and arenas and things of that sort. It just wasn't SEC play this year. I mean, getting to go to Wisconsin back in November was really, really cool. Got to go to Chicago the day before for the first time in my life, and although the Bears stunk last year, got to see the Bears play on Thursday Night Football. So just to be able to check off a Bears home game off the bucket list was pretty cool. And go walk outside of Wrigley Field as a diehard baseball fan was really cool. Got to go to Chapel Hill for, I guess technically that was my second game. Back when I lived in North Carolina, I went to a game when Tyler Hansborough was playing, actually. My dad was stationed at Fort Bragg there next to Fayetteville, and one of my buddies took me to a North Carolina game. So that was actually the second time, but I appreciated the Dean Dome more this time around as an adult rather than as a middle schooler. So getting to see venues like that was very, very cool. But the relationships that you get to form is the best part, on top of being able to go to cover a game at Kentucky or cover a game at North Carolina. I was very impressed by Wisconsin. Wisconsin was really, really cool. I hope Tennessee football does a home and home with Wisconsin at one point, because I stayed in Chicago, so was only really there for, got dinner right before the game, covered the game, and went back to Chicago. So I'd like to spend more than just a couple of hours there. So hopefully football will schedule a home and home. I think Tennessee fans would thoroughly enjoy a home and home with Wisconsin, because Madison seemed like a really, really cool, unique place that quite frankly had an SEC vibe to it in terms of just the passion of the fans and whatnot. So it's really cool, Swain, to get to, you see all these venues and stadiums and arenas on TV all the time, but to see them in person and see the atmospheres and environments, it's really, really cool, and something that I do not take for granted at all. I will certainly miss being around Santiago Vescovi and Josiah Jordan James, Dalton Connect. Those guys were, ooh, and are exceptional young men. Man. They are They're a lot of fun to be around and cover on a daily basis. It'll be weird not to see Josiah and Santi next season because I've seen them every day for the last 5 years since they've been here. But it's really cool and something that I don't take for granted.
Ben McKee.
Jason Swain, I hear you loud and clear now.
All right, good. Sorry about the issues with the mic. I don't know.
It's all good.
But it's technology. It happens. I fixed it. So, couple things on the basketball front. Men's basketball. Number one, you see Balo in the transfer portal? The Arizona center?
Well, I saw him.
Hey, now. What's up, Balo?
Him and Jonas playing next to each other. It could be a nice little duo there. Why are you giving me that look?
Because, I mean, that would be a really crowded post.
Why are you looking up at the Lord?
Because I need him to help you understand how to count. Phillip, you got Awaka, you got Jonas, you got Estrella. Like
you're the one that's talking about bringing him in. You're the one that needs help to count.
No. I'm not trying to
bring. If you were to bring him in, obviously somebody would be leaving, and it would probably be a Jonas or a Tobe. There's no doubt about that. So I guess if I think those two would be interesting to watch play together on the floor, you would have to space them out. I think Jonas can shoot the three, and I think that he could develop into doing that consistently at a fairly consistent rate in a game, but he would have to kind of stand in the corner at times and let Balo go to work or do the pick and roll with Zakai. I think that would be an interesting big man, big lineup there between Jonas and Balo. I mean, it'd be like Jonas and Tobe playing together, just a taller version of Tobe. So, like, I don't know why they wouldn't be able to work on the floor together at the same time, although that is not necessarily today's style of basketball, and the Alabamas of the world would make you pay for having two bigs on the floor. And as I just mentioned, if you were to bring in somebody like that, Tobe Awaka or Jonas Adu is not on the team next year. They already have people pulling them in different directions. And I see you over there sipping on something.
Listen,
over
I'm
there.
Just trying to win, man. I'm just trying to win.
I feel you.
That's all I care I about. You. And listen, I know Rick Pitino out here getting caught up tampering. It's out there, man. People are talking about it.
I know.
Yeah, it's out there. Yeah, Rick Pitino out here tampering.
You also have media members in Knoxville talking about players that would be potential targets who are not in the portal yet. So,
I'm trying to follow you, Ben. So wait, you mean Rick Pitino targeting some of players?
No, there are. I think people need to make sure that somebody's in the portal before they start talking about them. Is what I'm saying.
So you have media members trying to put current players on our team in the portal?
Non-Tennessee players.
Oh. Oh, okay. I got you, Ben. Loud and clear.
But to your point, and I mean, they're Jahmy Meshack, Jonas Adu, Tobe Awaka. I mean, those guys are getting pulled in all different directions. And I feel comfortable saying that because, like you just said, That is pretty much out there at this point. And, I mean, Tennessee had to fight to keep Jonas last offseason. And Jonas, I think, was very happy with being in Knoxville, and that's why he said no to other opportunities that he could have pursued. And we'll see what happens this time around. As of Tuesday morning, I don't anticipate Tennessee losing anybody else. I would be surprised if a Jamai or a Jonas or a Tobey decided to transfer. I think that they like being here.
Yeah, me too.
Cam Carr, JP Estrella, ooh. I'd be stunned if either of those two decided to leave.
Yeah.
I think Cade Phillips may be the only other one that could potentially transfer because I don't know that he'll ever be a starter here. So maybe he feels he can go elsewhere and play more. And maybe he decides to make that jump now. Maybe he waits to make that jump after his sophomore year. I don't know. But I think Cade Phillips would be the only one that would not surprise me at this point if they left. Freddie was written on the wall for months.
Oh, yeah, 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 for sure.
That one was just a matter of when was the season going to end.
Vol fan on text box says stop with a stop sign emoji. We don't need any post-transfers if that meant we could lose any of our existing guys. There aren't any more Zach Edey's in the game that we need to defend.
That is very true, Vol fan, but Zach Edey was not the only imposing physical post player that Tennessee struggled with,
bro.
This past season.
That's why I'm over here signing. Vol fan, where have you been this season? Like, I'm sorry. Is Tennessee's record only have two losses? I'm sorry, because I mean we played Purdue twice, lost to them twice, but where have you been? Did you see the Mississippi State game? Did you see all the? You think Balo getting pushed around in the post? No. I'm just trying to add people that could fill a weakness, could fill a void based on last year's team.
I like Jonas and Tobey. I think they're good basketball players, but they currently have flaws that they need to work on. And there is room to where you could upgrade if you are Tennessee, if the right one became available.
If Estrella can take that jump because he possesses the girth and the length, and with Awaka, you had the mentality, you had the toughness, but you didn't have the length. With Jonas, you had the length, but you didn't have the girth. So he was able to get pushed off the block. I know you and Nila Mafia over here giggling it up right now, but
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
But Balo gives you both. Like, you ain't pushing that dude around, and they didn't even pass him the ball. Clemson Arizona game. It's probably why he in the portal. That's the only reason I look at him and I say, all right now, okay, because if you watch the season, you saw where Tennessee got in trouble when you played against players that had the height, that had the strength. They were too strong for a Waka or too tall. Excuse me, too strong for a dude, too tall for a Waka. A guy like Balo, you can't do that with. Which is why Estrella played so much against Zach Edey, because he had the length and he was physically able to hold his own a little bit better. That's why I bring him up, Vol fan. Hunsucker says he does not feel comfortable with all this girth talk. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. 865-255-03. Let's get to the phones. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm looking for Jason Swain. If you can have him call me.
All right. We'll have him call you back.
Was that the portal?
I guess so. I guess so. 865-255-03.
It's one of your teammates is pranking you this morning.
It sounds like it.
Is that Katie Simon?
I don't know who it was. I don't have call.
It wasn't Jay Wade.
I don't think that was Jay Wade. I don't think that was Jay Wade. 865-255-0305 for the serious callers today. So if you missed any part of the show, we talked about Dallin Hayden. I think anytime you have a player with connections to Tennessee like Hayden, he's in the portal. It's a position of need for Tennessee right now. There's going to be an obvious connection made between Tennessee and Dallin Hayden. Tennessee needs another back. How do you know who's going to get into the portal? Do you feel confident that you can get someone better than Dallin Hayden if they enter the portal after the spring semester? Or are you just going to roll with who you have and say, well, we can't risk losing anybody. And we'll just hope that guys are healthy, ready to go. I don't feel comfortable with that strategy, but we'll see how it plays out. 865-255-03. Ben, did I miss anything? Oh, you, I did. So Don Connect, sir, was SEC Player of the Year. He was also first-team All-American. And what was the last award he just won, man?
The Julius Erving Award. Is that the one that you were referencing?
That is the one I am speaking of.
Which is funny to me because the Julius Erving Award is given annually to the best small forward in the country. And I think it's fair for somebody who doesn't follow Tennessee in depth to look at Dalton and say, oh, he's a small forward. He looks like a small forward. He plays on the wing and whatnot. But I remember when I first spoke to Dalton at the airport about this time last year after he visited. And I asked him, are you a two or a three? He said, I'm a big guard. That's what he views himself. Everybody wants to kind of peg him as a small forward or as a three, but Dalton is intent on making sure everybody knows that he is a big guard. He does not like the small forward label. Obviously, the award is very, very deserving, but I did think it was funny just thinking back to the first conversation I ever had with him after his visit. He's like, nah, I'm a big guard. That's what I am. I'm a big guard. He loves calling himself a big guard. So I thought that was funny. But he was more than deserving of the small forward of the year award because he did play out there on the wing, and that's probably what he's going to play at the next level. And a very cool honor, I'm sure, and just very cool in general to be mentioned alongside Julius Erving. I mean, my word, what an award to win. Forget like what the award is about, but to win an award named after Julius Erving, that's pretty daggum cool.
To be eligible for jersey retirement at Tennessee, a player must achieve three of the five criteria: win an SEC Player of the Year award, win a national award such as Naismith Player of the Year, be a first-team All-American, hold a career record in certificate category at Tennessee, in the SEC, or a national level, or win a national championship. Don Connect did not win Naismith Player of the Year, but he won the Julius Erving Award. I think Tony White's jersey should be hanging in the rafters. But Don Connect is going to make a strong argument over the next couple of years as he continues his career at the next level, the pro level, at the NBA level. So I can't believe we witnessed what we just witnessed this basketball season with Don Connect. This dude came in, Player of the Year in the conference, best small forward in the entire nation, second in National Player of the Year, first team All-American, It's amazing, man.
Do you think they should retire his jersey? I don't know why you're not. I don't know why you're bringing that up without giving your opinion on whether they should or not.
I'm bringing it up because it's a relevant topic, and it's a.
The people want to know your thought, though. Should they or should they not?
Who else coming through here doing what Dog Connect has just done?
Well,
like
there are things that Dalton did not do, so it is technically feasible that somebody could come along and win the Naismith Player of the Year.
Is Grant Williams' jersey should his jersey number be retired?
I don't have the requirements in front of me. So I don't know based off of.
Oh, you don't know? Oh, I got him right here, Ben. Let me read them off to you again.
Thank you.
Let me do it again for you. To be eligible, a player must achieve 3 out of 5. Win an SEC Player of the Year award. Win a national award, such as Naismith Player of the Year. Be first-team All-American. Hold a career record in a significant category at Tennessee in the SEC or on a national level. Or win a national championship.
I obviously know that Grant won SEC Player of the Year twice and was an All-American. I don't know if he holds any records. That would be something that we'd have to do more research than we can do here on the fly. Maybe somebody listening can do that for us. Do you have to meet any professional requirements on top of what you did in college?
Well, football is more. It's more stringent. It's harder, and it does involve professional criteria that you have to meet. But
okay, so here's where I think the conversation becomes difficult. Based off of individual success, Grant Williams and Dalton Connect should have their jersey retired. Absolutely. I mean, Dalton, his individual season speaks for itself. He met all those requirements except for a national championship, if I'm not mistaken. Grant met all of those requirements other than a national championship. And again, not sure if he owns a major record at Tennessee off the top of my head. But based off of individual success, they should be retired. Here is what I think is fascinating, Swain. You like to mess with me about my Memphis Grizzlies and retiring Marc Gasol, Mike Conley, Tony Allen, Zach Randolph. And I get it. They did not lead the Grizzlies to any championship. They didn't even play in the NBA Finals. They got as far as the Western Conference Finals. But to anybody that is in the city of Memphis – and is a Grizzlies fan and watched the core four play, they understand why those jerseys are going up in the Raptors. And
the what?
Everybody that understands that
is the Raptors okay. Or the Rafters?
Raf with an F.
Oh, okay.
I didn't put the PH in there. Rafters.
I used to say Raptors. Man, go up in there in the Raptors, man.
I may have said I don't know. I did have to take speech class when I was a kid, so funny now that I pretend to know what I'm talking about with a mic in my face now and act like I talk proper now, but that's neither here nor there. Really, it's your fault for allowing myself to have a mic. So anybody who doesn't like listening to me, blame Jason Swain because he's the one that gives me a platform.
Just keep talking about the Raptors, man.
Thursday to talk about the Raptors.
Yeah, and, about the
one that I struggle with is pitchers, baseball pitchers, and pictures, like a photo. That's the one that I struggle with, making sure that I enunciate and separate is a baseball pitcher and a picture. I have to stop and make myself say the C. But the Grizzlies, like this is what Tennessee, I think, has to decide. Tell me if you agree or disagree, obviously. But Tennessee has to decide whether they want to continue to retire jerseys off of individual success, because if that's the case, then these numbers are going to start to go pretty quickly.
It's individual success is why we're retiring. I get
that,
your number.
But there are this is something that we have talked about with the Grizzlies in the past. They're held to a different standard than the Lakers. The Lakers are retiring your jersey off of individual success and winning championships. The New York Yankees are retiring jerseys off of individual success and winning championships.
I understand. Football
like
is harder.
Not Kentucky.
Well, football is harder than basketball. Like, football is damn near impossible to get your jersey retired.
But should basketball be the same way?
No, because basketball ain't like football.
Okay. I'm not saying yes or no. I'm just presenting the question, because I think that's what Tennessee has to ask itself. Because those were two tremendous individual players, but they did not win the ultimate goal. And for some organizations throughout sports, the Kentuckys of the world, the Dukes, the Carolinas, the Yankees, the Lakers, so on and so forth. I mean, those jersey retirements, you typically see them with championships involved.
Yeah.
So, like the Grizzlies, again, I'm okay with those four jerseys being retired, even if it looks silly from the outside looking in, because I know what those four meant to the Memphis Grizzlies taking off and becoming what they are today, even if they're not winning titles like the Lakers or the Heat or somebody like that.
This is different.
And Tennessee, to me, kind of fits that same billing.
Yeah. Tennessee basketball, when you compare it to like Kentucky basketball or UCLA or Duke, like it should be harder to get your jersey retired at those places than Tennessee basketball, because the history is just not comparable. So the bar is a little bit lower. Like it or not, Tennessee fans, it just is what it is. It's the reason why Tennessee football, the bar is so high. And a player like Al Wilson, number's not retired, even though when you look at his body of work, how can you not retire his number? But the criteria is so tough to meet. That's because the bar's higher.
And I do think, and this is something that's been on my mind over the last week, because I've been seeing the comments about, I know there was the silly tweet about, would the Tennessee men's basketball team ever hire somebody without whatever that tweet was.
What
was the end of that one?
I didn't think that was like a
reporter,
a real reporter. I didn't think I just thought that was like a trolling fan of some school. Like I saw that. I was like, yo, you could have just Googled that. A simple Google search would have shown you Konzo Martin, Bruce Pearl, Donnie Tindall. Basically everybody.
Grant Ramey, good friend Grant Ramey, put her in a body bag. That tweet was put in a body bag by Grant Ramey when he went back and listed off all the previous Tennessee coaches before Rick Barnes and where they were before they got the job. But with that being said, like everybody's been pointing out about what Tennessee basketball is and isn't, but like Tennessee basketball is different now. It should be held to a different standard from here on out. Bruce Pearl and Rick Barnes have raised the standard of Tennessee basketball. It's no longer what it used to be. So the next time Tennessee has to hire a coach, there should be high expectations for Danny White to go out and hire a legitimate big-time coach. Like, you don't have to go hire the University of – what was it? Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yep.
Like Tennessee basketball no longer has to hire that coach. I mean, if it wants to, it can, but it doesn't have to. Like maybe it has had to in the past. It doesn't have to go hire the coach from Missouri State and Konzo Martin. If it thinks that the current coach, very much like the Lady Vols, if it thinks the coach at Marshall is the next big thing in men's college basketball, then go hire that person if you feel convicted and you trust what you're doing. But Tennessee basketball doesn't have to go hire the Marshall coach anymore. It can go hire a sitting head coach at a big-time conference. It may not go hire Dusty May away from Michigan or Jay Wright from Villanova or Dan Hurley from UConn, but Tennessee's basketball profile has been elevated. The program has been elevated because of Bruce Pearl and Rick Barnes. And with that comes different standards and different expectations. And so I think that maybe needs to be considered as well when looking at the retirement of the jerseys.
Yeah. Fascinating conversation, man. Grant Williams, Dalt Connect, Tony White, three players that have had extraordinary seasons or season at Tennessee that should strike up a conversation about whether or not their numbers need to be hanging in the Raptors or Rafters.
I have no problem with it. Let me make that clear. I'm just presenting questions conversations. At least I find them interesting because for some teams, it's like the Grizzlies, it's about what those players did for the organization and the city. For other teams, it's about winning championships. And obviously Tennessee basketball is more along the lines of what players at this point in time, I feel like it's more in the process of what the players did for the program and the community and the school rather
college,
than winning
though?
Championships.
I think it's college. I think it's different though. I think it's hard to compare pro to college in this example.
That's fair.
Yeah, but I just think it's hard.
But I think it
because you have awards. Like you have awards that you get. And Don Connect, Grant Williams, Tony White won SEC Player of the Year. They were all Americans. So like if you had a list of criteria with the Grizzlies and it said, okay, first team all pro, it said MVP, it said
Defensive
player of the year, first team defense, then okay. So, I mean, that's, I think, how it would be comparable. But it's a valid conversation for all three players. It really is because they had just a great run when they were here at Tennessee. And you want to remember them forever. You want to, hold them high and – that's one way you do that is to retire their number. But I don't know if I like all these single digit numbers being unavailable.
Well, that's kind of what sparked my thoughts in the questions that I brought up. I would love to see Grant Williams and Don't Connect get their jersey retired. But I do think it is an interesting conversation. I just heard from the GOAT, Jennifer Morris, who is a West Virginia native. Who is also a West Virginia native, is new Lady Vols basketball coach Kim Caldwell, who will be introduced today at 2 p.m. Eastern on campus. And Jennifer says, again, being from West Virginia, said that she's hearing good things from home about Kim Caldwell. So that is good to hear on the Kim Caldwell front. And speaking of homes, if you need a new home, Jennifer Morris is the person that you need to reach out to for all of your real estate needs. She's helped me find my first two homes. She can help you find your first home, your third home, or your last home. Whatever you want to do in real estate, Jennifer can help you accomplish, and she will do so by taking all the stress away and by constantly checking up on you and trying to move your house herself. She will literally do everything. It's not just all the dotting the I's and crossing the T's on the paperwork that realtors do. She wants to help out in the moving process too. So make sure you reach out to Jennifer Morris of Keller Williams Realty for all of your real estate needs.
I need to read this message from the Betty Chevrolet text box from Melissa because it's a long message. And I know she put a lot of thought into it. Melissa says, Ben, don't even speak about people trying to pull Mayshak in different directions. I love me some Mayshak. He does so much. Don't even speak that into existence. I can't have Shaq anywhere else. I think Estrella looked really good for a freshman. It's going to be great as he develops. Adu and Tobe improved too, so I think a lot of potential is there. I'm also certain as a nurse that Adu had the flu in that last game. We'll see how things go. Now, Melissa, you can't do that. You can't just be looking out there at the TV and go, oh, I think he got the flu. We ain't heard nothing about him having flu. He didn't play good. Don't be trying to do that, Melissa. But that's that Tennessee fan. That's that mama bear in you. I respect it. But no. Santi had the flu, and Santi played better.
Santi was around the team while he had the flu.
Ain't hear no reports about the flu. You judged off how you play. You didn't play well. It is what it is. He had a great season. All-conference player. Did not play well in the tournament enough. It is what it is. All right, I'll continue with the message. On the women's side, I need people on social media to be nicer to our new coach. She didn't fire Kelly. It's not her fault. Let's support her. It's like some of you want her to fail. I'm hearing very similar things to what I heard when we hired Heupel, and that worked out. But at least be cordial. Give her your support. She needs it. Yeah, that's embarrassing. That's the case. That's embarrassing. I mean, all she's done is win at a very, very high level. She hasn't won a lot at this level at a high level, but she's dominated everywhere she's been. She didn't hire herself. Danny White hired her. So if you want to rip somebody, rip Danny White. Don't rip the coach. Because her resume says she's good enough to be coaching at this level. She's good enough. So if you're going to rip her, at least wait. At least wait till you have a reason to rip her. It's really stupid to do it now. And there's some people that got a microphone just like we got right now that, and I don't even want to use the word because I pride myself on not saying these type of words on this program, even though I can, but I don't want to. But I know people with a microphone that completely crapped hardcore big dump on Josh Heupel being hired. Big dump on Rick Barnes being hired. But then them same people today happy about the results that we're having. Don't be that person. Don't be the person that, I just got to have a hot take. Because all you're going to do is expose yourself later for being an idiot. Like, why do that? Why would you do that to someone when you would not want that to be done by you? When you start a new job, you don't want people around the office going, oh, man, he sucks. He is going to suck. You wouldn't want that done to you. So why would you do that to somebody else? Wait for them to suck, then say they suck. Like that. That's the fair way to do it. Wait till they suck. Then you can say it. But you gotta have a hot take. You don't have to be right now. You can be right later. All right, sorry.
All good. I just want to know if you're going to be in Lindsey Nelson Stadium this afternoon rocking your Alabama A&M baseball jersey.
Boy, no.
Why not? You grew up like 2 minutes from Alabama A&M, if 2 minutes.
I said no. I'm not coming to the game today.
Why not?
I don't want to.
You watched Tennessee hit a bunch of home runs.
I'm sure they will.
Now, you ought to be trying to get in, on a serious note, you ought to be trying to get into a game this weekend.
Well, that's what I'm eyeing. I got my pass over here.
Defending champs.
I got my pass.
Coming into town, and the defending champs are struggling. Alabama A&M, 5-25 this season.
Yeah, I got my pass. I got my all-access pass. I can get in. I can go to the game.
Bulldogs are 5-25.
I mean, I know what's about to happen. Yeah, we know what's about to happen. So we all good, man. We're going to get a win. LSU is what I'm focused on. Smile and save this month with Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. From now until April the 30th, take advantage of big savings and home systems. Enjoy up to $1,500 off select new HVAC systems, whole home water filtration and descalers, or select new whole home generators. If you've been waiting for the right time to upgrade or replace your systems, now is the time. Visit the website, happyhiller.com, today for all of your details. Man, I wish I could just give you a big old hug right now, Ben McKee. But I can't.
I'm good anyways.
And I'm cool with that.
I'm booked.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I'm still waiting on my dead end.
All right, let's go. When we going?
What? You'll be too busy with your BFF Josh Ward at that time.
Yeah, I went to dead end last week, right at 11, and had to like rush. It's my first time like really having lunch while still having to do a show at 12, and it was worth everything. It was worth it. The offer's still on the table, Ben. I ain't forgot. I got you, man. I got you. I promise, man. I got you. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. For Ben McKee, of Jason Swain. Peace and much love. We are out.